Vastly beautiful was Ptah's repeating birth. And no wonder, for experts spent years searching for the finest specimen between the marshes of the Delta and the Elephant Isle. He was black, and his blackness set off in great, not to say godlike splendor, the scarlet shabrack on his back. A bald-headed servitor, in an apron of pleated gold stuff which left the navel free in front and reached behind halfway up the back, held him on either side by a gold cord. The one on the right hand lifted the cover a little before the eyes of the people to display the white spot on Hapi's flank, in which one was supposed to recognize the sign of the crescent moon. A priest, down whose back hung a leopard fell, together with the claws and tail, came and made obeisance. Then he stood with one leg before the other, and held out the incense vessel on a pole toward the bull, who lowered his head, sniffed, and blew out his thick, moist nostrils as the smoke tickled them. He sneezed mightily. The crowd redoubled his acclaim, and hopped still more joyously on one leg. Harp players knelt, with their faces turned heavenwards, sang and played, while behind them other singers clapped out the time during the offering of the incense. There were women, too, temple maidens with unbound hair, one of them always naked and with a girdle for all covering above the swelling hips, the second in a long garment fine like a veil that stood open in front and likewise showed all her youth. Pacing the scene in dance, they shook sistra and tambourines above their heads, stretching and lifting their legs astonishingly high from the hips. A priest reader sitting at the feet of the bull with his face to the crowd began to chant a text out of his roll, nodding his head in time, while the people joined in the refrain, "Hapi is Ptah, Hapi is Re, Hapi is Hor, the son of Eset." After that appeared another priest, bald-headed and of haughty mien, obviously of high rank, for he was escorted by bearers holding feather fans and wore a wide batiste apron held on with shoulder straps. He came on in a sort of dexterous crawl, one leg far out behind him, the other balanced on its toes, tucked up beneath. He carried a gold basin of herbs and spices, holding it up to the god with both arms outstretched. Hapi paid no heed. He was used to all these ceremonial offerings, to an existence of stately boredom, which, thanks to a certain bodily constitution, was become his melancholy lot in life. He stood there straggle-legged, and looked loweringly with his little bloodshot bull eyes out over the ministrant's head at the populace, skipping and hopping, one hand on their breasts, the other stretched toward him as they cried out his holy name. They were so glad to see him held with golden strands in the safe custody of the temple, hemmed round by ministering guardians. He was their god and their prisoner, and it was his imprisonment, the security it afforded them, that gave rise to their exultation and made them jump about. And perhaps he looked so lowering and evilly upon them because he realized that despite all the honors and ceremony, they did not mean so well by him after all. Master Baker Bata did not jump about, on account of his corpulence, but he joined in the responses with a powerful voice and repeatedly saluted the god, prostrating himself and raising his arm, visibly pleased by the spectacle. "The sight of him does one good," he declared to his neighbor. "It strengthens the spirits and restores one's confidence in life. My experience is that I need to eat nothing more the whole day when I have seen Hapi, for it is like a hearty meal of beef in all my limbs. I'm full and sleepy. I take a nap and awake as one newborn. He is a very great god, the living representative of Ptah. You must know that his grave awaits him in the west. The command hath gone out that in death he shall be swaddled and embalmed in the most costly manner, with good resin and bands of royal linen, and laid to rest in the city of the dead, according to custom, in the eternal house of the god Bull. So it is commanded," he said, "and so it will be. Already two Usar Hapis rest in stone coffins in their eternal home in the west." The old man gave a glance at Joseph, which the latter took as encouragement to test the man with a question. He said, "Ask the man to explain to you why he says that Usar Hapi's eternal home awaits him in the west. Because it is not the west where it waits, but Menphe, city of the living, itself lies on the west bank, and no dead ferries across the water. This youth, the old man turned to the baker, asks thus and thus. Will you give him an answer?
I spoke as they speak, responded the Egyptian, and took no thought of the phrase, and so do we all. The west, that is the city of the dead, according to our speech, but it is true that Menphe's dead travel not across the river, as elsewhere, but the city of the living lies also and already in the west. According to reason, your youth is right with his objection, but according to our speech, I spoke correctly.
Ask him this, too, said Joseph. If Hapi, the beautiful bull, is the living Ptah for the living, what, then, is Ptah in his chapel?
Ptah is great, answered the baker.
Tell him I do not doubt that, Joseph replied. But Hapi is called Usar Hapi when he has died. And again, Ptah in his bark is Usir, and called in human form because the figure has the form with the chin beard on which the joiners work, and he seems swaddled. What is he then?
Instruct your youth, said the baker to the old man, that the priest enters daily to Ptah and opens his mouth with a powerful instrument that he may eat and drink, and renews daily for him the paint of life upon his cheeks. That is the service and the cherishing.
And now I would ask, with all due politeness, Joseph continued, what about the dead before his burial, when Anpu stands behind him, and wherein, for instance, the service may consist, which the priest practices on the mummy?
Does he not even know that, your youth? Answered the baker. It is plain that he is a sand-dweller, wholly foreign, and a newcomer in the land. The service, so I would have him told, consists in the so-called opening of the mouth, above all. It is called that because the priest therewith opens the mouth with a special staff, that the god may eat and drink again, and enjoy the edible offerings. Therefore is it that the priest of the dead, in sign that the dead, like Usir, will live again, puts the blush of rouge on the mummy for a consolation to the hearts of the mourners.
I hear with gratitude, Joseph said. This, then, is the difference between the service of the gods and that of the dead. But now ask the Lord Bata, wherewithal one builds in the land of Egypt.
Your youth, answered the baker, is good to look upon, but somewhat stupid. We build for the living with Nile bricks, but the abodes of the dead, as well as the temples, are of everlasting stone.
I hear, Joseph answered again, with many thanks, but if of two things the same holds, then they are like, and one may interchange them unreproved. The graves of Egypt are temples, but the temples
are houses of God, finished the baker.
You have said it. The dead of Egypt are gods. And your gods, what are they?
The gods are great, replied Bata the baker. I feel it in the fullness and fatigue which steal over me, now I have seen Hapi. I will go home and lay myself down to the sleep of new birth. Also my wife will have come back from waiting on the Great Mother. Be healthy, ye strangers. Rejoice and rest in peace.
With that he went. But the old man said to Joseph, The man was worn out with God. Thou shouldst not have pressed him through my mouth with petty questionings. But must not, the other justified himself, thy slave inform himself, that he may find himself with understanding of life in Egypt, where thou wilt leave him and he will abide? Strange and novel enough is everything here for the youth, for the children of Egypt worship in tombs, whether they be called temples or eternal dwellings. But we at home worship after the custom of our fathers beneath the green trees. Shall not one laugh and ponder at thought of these children? They call Hapi the living form of Ptah, and such, it seems to me, Ptah can use, as he himself is certainly embalmed and is a corpse. But they rest not until they have also wrapped up the living form and made out of it
and Osiris and God Mummy. Until then, there's something wrong about it. But I like Menphe itself, whose dead need not to travel across the water because it already lies in the west. This great city, so full of people, who so blithely make a nickname of its solemn form. It is a pity that the house of blessing before which you will bring me, better pray the fanbearer's house, lieth not at Menphe, for it pleaseth me among the cities of Egypt.
Thou art much too unripe, the old man answered him, to distinguish what is good for thee. But I know, and procure it for thee like a father, for such I evidently am to thee, assuming that thy mother is the grave. Tomorrow early we take ship and sail 9 days long through the land of Egypt, southwards, up the river, that we may set our feet on the shining shore of Weset per Amun, the royal city.